During the beautiful days of Christmastide, we celebrate all of the mysteries of the Lord Jesus, which manifest his glory, his birth and circumcision, his adoration by the humble shepherds and the majestic magi, the flight of the Holy Family into Egypt, and the murder of the little boys of Bethlehem, his presentation in the temple, and the faith of Simeon and Anna, his teaching of the elders in the temple, and his obedience to Mary and Joseph, his baptism in the Jordan, and his first miracle at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. As both helpless infant and suffering servant, the Lord Jesus is revealed as the Messiah and Savior, who has redeemed the entire human race from the grave and given us a share in his divine glory. Together, this is the good news or gospel of salvation. And this is what the Apostle Paul traveled all over the Mediterranean world to preach after he met the Lord Jesus on the Damascus Road and accepted the gospel in the obedience of faith. As Paul traveled and preached the gospel, he also established churches in the places he visited. And as part of that founding of churches, he ordained bishops and priests and appointed them to continue the apostolic labor which had been given to him by Christ himself. And among the first bishops ordained by Paul was a man named Titus. Although we don't know for certain where Titus was born or how he came to be a Christian, we do know that he was a Gentile, not a Jew. And one tradition tells us that, unlike Paul, Titus actually met the Lord Jesus during his earthly ministry and believed in his divine glory even before he heard Paul preach. In any event, sometime after the resurrection of Christ, Paul became a spiritual father to Titus. And after they had worked and traveled together preaching the gospel, Paul made Titus a bishop and gave him the duty of establishing the church on the island of Crete. Then later, to encourage Titus in his labors as a bishop, Paul wrote to him a short letter, which includes a succinct explanation of how we are saved by Christ Jesus through holy baptism. And the first part of that text is our second lesson, both at Mass today and at Mass during the night on Christmas Eve, the bookends of Christmastide. St. Paul writes, "For the grace of God has appeared for the salvation of all men, training us to renounce irreligion and worldly passions and to live sober, upright, and godly lives in this world, awaiting our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all iniquity and to purify for himself a people of his own, who are zealous for good deeds." In these three verses, Paul has summarized the meaning, the purpose, and the result of the entire Paschal mystery. God became a man in the womb of a virgin to restore a broken world, to ransom the human race from slavery to sin and death, and to make possible for us the evangelical freedom of the children of God in order to prepare us to share his divine glory forever. And this, in turn, is what the church confesses in one form of the penitential rite at the beginning of Mass. "Lord Jesus, you did come to gather the nations into the peace of God's kingdom. Christ Jesus, you do come in word and sacrament to strengthen us in holiness. Lord Jesus, you will come in glory with salvation for your people." During the season of Christmas, we naturally think of the first of these three comings of Christ. Lord Jesus, you did come in the past as a child, as a babe, the son of Mary. But even in Christmastide, we must also always think of the other two comings of Christ. He comes to us now in word and sacrament to strengthen us in holiness, so that when he comes in glory on the last day to judge the living and the dead, he will find that we have already renounced ungodliness and lawlessness to live temperately, justly, and devoutly, awaiting our blessed hope, the appearing, the manifesting of the glory of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The sober, upright, and godly life to which St. Paul exhorts us requires our cooperation with God's grace. But this life is possible in the first place only because of that grace, grace which ordinarily comes from the Lord Jesus in the sacraments of his church, beginning with holy baptism, the first of the sacraments to be established by Christ and the one which begins in each of us the new life of grace. Today the church recalls with wonder the baptism of the Lord Jesus, an event which transformed John's ritual washing of the old covenant into the first sacrament of the new covenant, and also revealed to the world that the Son of Mary is the eternal Son of God. The baptism through which each one of us was born again by water and the Holy Spirit was made possible only by the baptism of Christ, who, Son though he was, learned obedience from what he suffered, the suffering of Calvary, which he anticipated and accepted in the waters of the Jordan. The Lord Jesus is a man like us in all things but sin. But the one without sin went into the waters of baptism to give them the supernatural power to free us from our sins. Listen as St. Paul describes the sacrament of holy baptism to young Bishop Titus. When the kindness and generous love of God our Savior appeared, not because of any righteous deeds we had done, but because of his mercy, he saved us through the bath of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he richly poured out on us through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that we might be justified by his grace and become heirs in hope of eternal life. My friends, by our baptism, we are called to turn away from all ungodliness and to live prudently, justly, and reverently according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Baptism is not a social ritual of welcoming new members to the family, though it does signify that too. Baptism is the death of the child of wrath and the second birth of the child of God, by the supernatural power of the sacraments as instruments of grace. And from the moment of our baptism, we are called to follow the Lord Jesus in the way of the cross. This is why we must take the greatest care to teach our children the full meaning of their baptism and help them live by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And this is also why our baptismal dignity requires of us the regular practice of our Catholic faith, day in and day out, every week of the year, all our lives long. Mass every Sunday, prayer every day, confession of sins whenever needed, regular study of Holy Scripture as the foundation for a life of mature discipleship, service of those in need for the sake of Christ, marriage only in the church and abstinence until marriage, openness to new life in every moment of marital intimacy, never lying, cheating, or stealing, always treating other persons with respect no matter their station in life, and constant proclamation of the gospel by our words and our lives. These are the means given to us by the Lord Jesus to live in the grace of our baptism, as we await his final manifestation in glory. On this feast of the baptism of the Lord, we say for the final time until next December, Merry Christmas. And at all times we say with our lives and our words, Praised be Jesus Christ, now and forever.